Ravana Sita Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Dayo Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Dayo Ram. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Patita Pavana Sita Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Dai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Dai Ram Pavana Sita Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Dai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Dai Ram
So, we're continuing with our coronavirus classes, The Ramayan, and we practically have no one here with us. We have a few, a handful, two or three people with us, and we're going to be speaking about Lord Ram. For those of you who are watching us from New Zealand, we have a special darshan from New Zealand that Kristen Chandra will send you information out for at 1 o'clock tomorrow. He'll send you the link, which I sent to him on WhatsApp. So he'll send it out to all of you in New Zealand. It's just for the devotees from New Zealand. And so you won't get the link unless you're from New Zealand. That's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to be having special darshans and talks and discussions on Zoom. So you all get to see everybody else who's participating with us on Zoom. We'll be doing it for different parts of the world. But tomorrow is the time for New Zealand devotees. But now everybody in the world can watch. So we are on lockdown with Lord Ram. Anyway, so we'll continue with the Ramayan. Om Aganat Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurveda Maha. So I'll actually start at the beginning, talking about the Ramayan itself. Of course, Valmiki Ramayan is the original Ramayan. There's others, such as the Tulsidas Ramayan, there's the South Indian Ramayan, I don't remember the name of it, but actually in different states of India, there's different Ramayans. But the original is the Sanskrit one. Tulsidas, it is a beautiful poem, Sanskrit poem. The whole thing is the world's largest epic poem. There are 24,000 verses, it's quite a bit, and 500 cantos, and that's not including what's called the Uttara Ramayan. It means what happens in the future. Now, the Uttara Ramayan, there's some controversy of whether or not Valmiki actually composed the Uttara Ramayan. So people don't know for sure about that. So as far as the story of Valmiki is concerned, we should start with him. Valmiki was a sage, and this may be a little different than what you're accustomed to, because you're all reading the Tulsidas Ramayan, Ramacharitamanasas, and I'm reading the Valmiki Ramayan. So some of the names will be a little bit different. So once upon a time, there was this Brahmin named Lohajunga, who was very much caring for his family. And there was a drought. Drought means there was no water. So he cared for his family so much that he was ready to do anything. In fact, he was robbing old women, killing people, doing all sorts of interesting things. And he would stop people on the path. There was like a forest path. Because in India, traditionally, there weren't roads. There were forest paths. So he would stand on the side in the forest path and jump in front of everybody with a big chopper, like a cane knife. And he would say, "Stop! Give me your money or your life." And so one time, there were these great rishis. They were called the Sapta Rishis, the seven great rishis, like Vashishta, etc., who were on their way just to go to a holy place, and he asked them to stop and give them money. They didn't have much money. But they preached to him. They said, "You're a Brahmin, and you should know about the law of karma. So don't you know what you're doing is very karmically bad?" And he said, "I know. But I have to supply food to my family. You know, what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention, you know, whatever." And so they said, "We understand that. So because you're supplying food to your family, do you think your family would be willing to share in a little bit of your karmic reactions?" And he said, "Of course. They love me. They love me so much." Actually, they loved his money. They didn't love him. But anyway, that's another story. So he went to his family, and he went to his wife, and his wife said, "No, you will not take any of your karma. Just give me saris." And then he went to his son, and his son said, "No, Dad, just buy me a new iPhone." Of course, that's not a true story. But anyway, his son said no. Then he went to his daughter. His daughter said the same thing. Then he went back to the sages. Because actually, sometimes in order for someone to come to Krishna consciousness, it's required that there be disappointment or problems in life. Just like you see this terrible coronavirus that everybody is experiencing now. And Gokul just told me there's another virus on the way. The Hunter virus. Coming straight from China. Some of the best things are imported from China. Mobile phones and viruses. Anyway. And so it's like a wake-up call, isn't it? It's like, oh, maybe this material world isn't a nice place. Maybe there is karma. So it's just you wake up. And so we're finding that now on the internet. You know, many people are more interested in Krishna consciousness because of this. And the devotees who are very expert, this is a hint for all of you, are going on the internet, for them who are listening to me, are going on the internet and preaching. Like today I had some nice preaching programs on the internet using different applications on the internet. So I'm just really gearing myself up just to be in isolation but preaching to the whole world. So anyway, so this Lohojunga, he was just like upset, and he said to the sages, what can I do to get rid of the karma? And the sages said, you should chant the names of Ram. And he said, no, I'm not pious enough. Because it's a fact that a pious, impious person can't say God's name. They actually have to be pious to be able to say God's name. And so they said, well, they came up with a trick. They said, you can chant, as you know the story, Mara. And he began to chant Mara, 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 Mara. And he was so enthusiastic because when one is put in difficulty, one becomes more, as Krishna says in the Gita, four types of people approach him, right? Jatura Vidhava Jantibam. People in distress. That's a big one. So he was in distress. And so he was chanting enthusiastically and chanting so enthusiastically that an anthill grew around him. And of course by then he was chanting the names of Ram because Mara 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 Ram 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 Ram. And that's why he's called Valmiki in Sanskrit. Valmiki means the anthill sage. The sage who came out of an anthill. It was very interesting. So the Saptarishis came again. They saw him in, they saw the anthill chanting. Or they heard it. And they brought him out of there, massaged his body. He came back to consciousness and gave him the name Valmiki. So, anyway, actually there's a history even before here that I forgot to mention. That Valmiki's previous birth, he was a sage named Harita, who had offended Sanat Kumar, and therefore he was cursed to become this Lohojunga because of that curse. So anyway, so once upon a time, as the sage Valmiki, he asked for Narada. He asked the question of Narada. And he said, Narada, could you please tell me someone who is full of virtues, prowess, resolve, truthful, right conduct, you know, Mariyata Purushottam. And Narada said to him that, oh yes, other things too, actually. Knowledgeable, lovable, subdued his self, subdued anger, and he's above fault finding. It's hard to find someone like that, isn't it? And so Narada said, you should write something about Ram, and whose name he had been chanting. So he was thinking, how am I going to do this? So one day, as he was thinking of how to write the Ramayana, he went to take a bath, take his morning bath, and he saw a hunter killing a crane. A crane is like a big bird, you know, with a big neck. And the crane was actually involved in a relationship with a female crane. So he got angry with this hunter, and he cursed the hunter to die, but using poetry. There's a certain, what's called meter, like da 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 da. That's meter, you know, the rhythm, certain rhythm, and rhyming too. So he was thinking, wow, this is an interesting thing. So that was the origin of poetry in that particular yuga. That's a Treta Yuga, of course, the origin of poetry. Because in Satya Yuga, I guess they didn't need much poetry. They were all Paramahamsas. So then Lord Brahma appeared before him And Lord Brahma instructed him to write the Ramayana in the same meter. And then he went into yogic trance. And in that yogic trance, he was able to see all of Ram's pastimes, not only what had happened already, but the future pastimes of Lord Ram. So that's the story of Valmiki. So anyway, getting back to the Ramayana itself, and when one celebrates the day of Ram Nomi, one should read in the morning about the birth of Ram, midday about the marriage, Sita Swayambar, and in the evening about the installation of Ram as king after he's achieved victory over Ravan. So one interesting point that's made by Srila Prabhupada in his discussion, and it's not specifically in the Valmiki Ramayana, but it's actually in the Puranas, is that in the beginning of the Ikshvaku dynasty, which is actually Vivaswan's dynasty, Imam Vivaswate Yogam Prabhupam Aham Aviyam, Vivaswan Manave Praha, Manu Rikshvakave Bravit, I think you all know that verse, about the disciplic succession. In the beginning of this whole disciplic succession, Vivaswan was given deities by Lord Brahma of Sita and Ram. So this is before Ram appeared. I mean, this also proves that Ram and Sita's pastimes are Nitya Lila. Nitya Lila means what? Eternal. Mm-hmm. They're always occurring, just like Krishna's pastimes. Like you can go into a different universe now, and Ram and Sita and Hanuman are actually enacting their pastimes as we talk. In every universe, just like Prabhupada described, it's like a movie spool where you have one frame after another. So somewhere right now, Rama's being born. Somewhere else, Sita's being kidnapped. Somewhere else, Ravan's being killed in some other universe. Somewhere else, Rama's being enthroned. Somewhere else, Sita is being sent to the forest. Somewhere else, Sita's entering into the earth. And somewhere else, Ram is entering into the Sarayu River to take all the residents of Ayodhya back to Godhead. So these things keep going on. There's a slight difference, and even a major difference in how this happens. Like sometimes Sita's kidnapped from the Dandakaranya forest, sometimes she might be kidnapped from the from Ayodhya. You know, there's variety in the pastimes. It's not that it's always just like the same. You know, the Lord doesn't want to get bored. So, you know, so every time he comes down as Ram, it's slightly different. There's always a Ravan. There's always, Akrasita is always there. She's the goddess of fortune. She's eternally Ram's consort. And there's always Hanuman. I mean, these are eternal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this deity of Sita and Ram was being worshipped by Vivaswan. Then Manu, Ikshvaku, etc., like that, was passed down in the disciplic succession. So finally, guess who gets the deity? Ram. So Ram doesn't want to worship himself. He's actually pretty good. I mean, it's just like, you know, just like my disciples have pictures of me, but I don't have a picture of me on the wall, my altar. Sometimes when I'm doing puja in one of my disciples' houses, you know, there's one of my pictures there. I don't offer anything to my picture. I don't offer a flower or anything because it wouldn't be appropriate. So Ram doesn't want to worship himself. So he puts the deities in his closet, just locks the deities away. So finally he's back in Ayodhya after killing Ravan. And this Brahmin who is very devoted to Ram takes a vow not to eat unless he sees Ram that day. So there's a problem because Ram sometimes goes to the forest. You know, Kshatriyas go out hunting, doing different things like that. And so the Brahmin has to fast sometimes for 2, 3, 4, 5 days a week. And so when Ram hears about this, he gives the Brahmin the deities. He says, if you worship these deities, then as soon as you see the deities, you can take prasad. So Brahmin was ecstatic at that point. So later on, that Brahmin gave those deities to Hanuman. and Hanuman was worshiping the deities for some time. And later on, Hanuman gave it to his brother. Does anyone know who Hanuman's brother is? No, something new for all of you. Madhvacharya. There's three Vayuputras. Who are the three Vayuputras? Anyone know? You got Hanuman, that's easy. I already mentioned Madhvacharya. Bhimsen. I should test you all instead of just speaking. So you got three Vayuputras. Bhimsen did not worship the deities of Sita and Ram, but it was later on given to Madhvacharya. And those deities right now are in an Udupi. Anyone's been to Udupi here? No? You haven't been to Udupi. Udupi is actually on the west coast of India. It's Madhvacharya's place. And also there's the deity of Dancing Krishna, which Madhvacharya discovered in the ocean. There, Madhvacharya took sannyas when he was 9 years old. Interesting story. I'll just tell the story about Madhvacharya because that's interesting too. Madhvacharya was visiting his guru when he was about 6 years old. He started visiting his guru. And his guru was very intelligent because he gave this little boy sweets. And when you addict a little kid to sweets, you know, he keeps coming back all the time. Intelligent guru. I should do the same thing. Except I know sweets are not good for people. But anyway, so he kept... So this boy, when he was seven, Madhvacharya wanted to take sannyas. He went to his mother and father and said, I'm taking sannyas. And they said, no, you cannot take sannyas because you're the only son in the family. I mean, sometimes kids at seven, they can take sannyas. And so what happened is that Madhvacharya started crying, I want to take sannyas, I want to take sannyas. And they said, all right, if we have another son, you can take sannyas. But his parents were like 70 years old. I mean, very few parents at 70 have babies. So he made the deal. And by his mystic potency, the parents had a kid. And then at 9 years old, he took sannyas. And that's Madhvacharya. He's one of the main acharyas, well, actually, the main acharya in the Brahma Madhva, the Brahma Sampradaya. Mm-hmm. Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. Like that.
It comes in the dispensation.
What?
In the dispensation.
Disciplic succession, our disciplic succession. Mm-hmm. We're actually in the Madhva Sampradaya, which comes from Lord Brahma. You understand? Mm-hmm. And just like in the Lakshmi Sampradaya, you have Sripad Ramanujacharya. So Madhvacharya is our acharya. And then later on, a branch of that disciplic succession is called the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is headed up by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, Rupa Goswami after that. So that's the deity of Sita Ram. And so that proves that Ram's pastimes are eternal. Okay? So that's a little bit of introduction into the Ramayana. So let's start with Ravan. Ravan's a very interesting person. He's one of my favorite persons. So... Ravan, okay, let's before Ravan's birth, let's start before him. Demons were really worried because the demigods were more powerful. And they were thinking, how can we become more powerful and defeat the demigods? And they thought, we need Brahman power. Because Brahmins are more powerful than anyone else. As we mentioned the story of the Brahma Rishi last night. This Amrita Muni. So they thought, but we need a Brahman who's also a Rakshasa. How can we do that? Well, they thought, if we have a mother who's a Rakshasa and a father who is actually a Brahman, then the son will be a Brahma Rakshasa. So there was this nice lady, Ketashi, and a nice Brahman, Vishravas. Vishravas was actually the father of Kuvera, too. He's actually a great soul, great personality. So they said to Kekashi, okay, you go to Vishravas, who's just sitting there chanting Hare Krishna, and you disturb him. So Kekashi used her mystic powers. As Rakshasas, they can change their form at will. So she used her mystic powers make herself very beautiful. So she shows up at Vishravas's ashram, and she, you know, he's meditating, Om Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, whatever. Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. And she goes, hello. She says, I love you. And, you know, whatever the ladies do, I don't know. But it's something like that. Right? You know. You don't know. He's an innocent boy. Young man. Just be careful. So she goes like that. He says, I'm already married. And she says, doesn't matter. You can have more than one wife. And all of a sudden, he just falls in love with this Rakshasini. And basically, they have some sort of marriage. I mean, obviously, they got married. You know, either Rakshasa marriage or whatever type of marriage they had a marriage. So they get married, and all of Vishravas's brahmacharis run away because they, you know, Guru Maharaj is married a demon. You know, they don't mind he's married, because traditionally the gurus were always married in the Vedic tradition. But when the guru marries the Rakshasa, then you got problems. So there was problems there. So he marries the Rakshasa, and then he has some children as a result. And wonderful Ravan, he's the person who makes people cry. And Kumbhakarna, that means pot, you know, the ears, Karna. Kumbha, like pots. You understand? His ears are like pots, but he's big. He's big. And I'll describe him in a second. And also Vibhishan, our friend who's a devotee. Somehow or other, you know, then there must have been some pious thoughts when they were having him. And Sripa Naka, the beautiful Sripa Naka. So, you know, nice family. Anyway, so he has all these kids, and Vishravas trains up Ravan in the Vedic mantras. So it's described that Ravan was so expert in Vedic mantras that he could teach others how to chant the Vedic mantras. Even sometimes described the demigods would call Ravan to come because he was so expert in pronouncing. So sometimes you see devotees who are expert in pronouncing and think they're Krishna conscious. I'm not saying they're demons, but that's not an important quality to be expert in pronouncing Vedic mantras. Like even if you're in China and you say, Hare Krishna, 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 because they can't pronounce the R, can't pronounce Krishna, then Krishna knows. So in devotional service, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayantamam yejana paryupasate tesham lechibuyuktamam yogikshem vahamyam. I will protect what you have and carry what you lack. You all know that verse, right? Wow, see, they're trained up nicely. You don't know the verse. See, you should join Rasa Vihari's team here. Because they all know the verses. So anyway, so Krishna forgives. So anyway, Ravana was expert. Kumbhakarna liked to eat a lot. In fact, it described he would eat so much the whole universe was threatened. There wasn't any food left over for anyone else. And Vibhishan, somehow or other, was pious. And Sripanaka, she was, anyway, just lusty like a dog. Anyway. So there's a whole interesting story I'll tell in a minute about Sripanaka. Now I'm remembering all these side stories. But anyway, so what happened is that after Ravana got trained up, the four of them engaged in austerities to please Lord Brahma. And you know the story that Ravana was eventually offering his heads. Oops. He was eventually offering his heads to the fire. And of course he was called Dasa Griva. Dasa Griva means, of course, 10 heads. And Lord Brahma appears, and he asks Ravan, what do you want? And Ravan says, I want to be immortal. And Lord Brahma says, no, you can choose Even I'm not immortal. So you can choose how you're going to die. And he says, well, I just don't want to be killed by any demigod, Rakshas, a powerful person, this, that. And he doesn't mention humans or animals. And actually, when someone mentions or someone approaches Lord Brahma and asks for a benediction like that, it predicts the way they're going to die. Just like the story of Hiranyakashipu. You know, not inside, not outside, not day or night, you know, by a man or beast, etc., like that. Krishna's very tricky. One time there were two demons, Sunda and Upasunda, and they also asked for a benediction from Lord Brahma. And they said, well, the only way we die is if we kill each other. And they loved each other, they were brothers. So what Lord Brahma did is that after they left, he created this beautiful girl, had Vishwakarma create the beautiful girl named Tilotama. And she was so beautiful that the demigods grew extra eyes just to see her in the back of their heads. And she went to when these two demons were drunk and they fought over her and they killed each other. So you got to be careful when you ask for benediction from the demigods because it predicts how you're going to die. So I don't ask benedictions from demigods. I stay away from them. So anyway, so that's Ravana. And then Kumbhakarna, you know the story, the Kumbhakarna. He actually wanted to have Indra's throne, and he just mispronounced the word Indra Asana, Nidra Asana. And so Lord Brahma said, okay, you can sleep forever. And then Ravana said, no, please forgive him. You know, give him some dispensation. And Lord Brahma said, okay, every 6 months he can get up. And then, but if he's woken up prematurely, before the 6 months is up, that's when he's going to die. So that was Kumbhakarna. And then Vibhishan just asked, he actually asked for eternal devotion to the Lord. And Lord Brahma said, yes, I bless you with that, and also I bless you with eternal life. Because a devotee lives eternally. A devotee never dies. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he who reasons that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. So Vaishnava is eternal. So, and then Sirpanaka asked for the ability to change her form and look beautiful, because she was quite ugly. So, actually, it's described in the Valmiki Ramayana that she had a stomach like a beer belly. You beer belly? You ever seen people drink beer, really? Mm. It's like, the men look like they're pregnant. So, you seen?
Yeah, tell the steering.
Yeah, they're steering the car, they can steer with their belly. I've seen people do that.
Yeah,
they smoke and they take kava. So anyway, so she had the ability to change her form. Later on, here's a story about Sirpanaka that you didn't know. Sirpanaka got married. And she married the king of the netherworlds, that means the underworlds. And she was very happy. She loved her husband. But what happened is that Ravana went out to capture all the worlds. In fact, he went to the netherworlds and he didn't remember that he was fighting her husband. He killed her husband. And so Sirpanaka hated Ravana. So this is the background for the Ramayana. Because Sirpanaka hated Ravana because Ravana had killed her husband. So Ravana, knowing that, sent her to Janmashtami to keep her away, isn't it? To keep her away, and sent her with his brothers, you know, cousin brothers. And so that's why she was there, that's why she fell in love with Ram, because she was being kept away. So, anyway, so I think we talked about all of them so far. Okay, that's the background. And then Ravana decided to become even more powerful. He began to perform different austerities and become more powerful. And he became so powerful that he thought he could get away with anything. And so he started to do things that caused him to be cursed. First of all, there was this Vedavati. You've heard of the Vedavati before. She was actually an expansion of Sita Devi, Bhumi. You know, the Sri Devi and Bhu Devi, you know the story? Yes. Sri Devi, Bhu Devi. That's, and Anyway, there's a whole other story about Bhudevi marrying Vishnu and becoming a deity, but I'm not going to tell that story right now. So Sri Devi and Bhudevi, so the expansion of Sita Devi was Vedavati, and she was meditating on a hill to have Lord Narayan as her husband. And Ravan was traveling in his Pushpaka Vimana. The Pushpaka Vimana was stolen from Kuvera. It was originally Kuvera's vehicle. And it was a Pushpaka Vimana means an airplane made of flowers. And the Valmiki Ramayana describes that there were actually castles on the airplane and houses and also streams and all amazing stuff on the airplane. It wasn't like one of these airplanes they have here at Fiji Airways. Yeah, there's a beautiful airplane. It was a flower airplane. And it could become big, it could become small, according. And it went by the power of the mind. Whatever Ravana wanted, or wherever he wanted to go, the airplane would go. So Ravana saw this beautiful girl, Vedavati, meditating. He came down, and he said to her, you know, hi, come with me. Because he actually kidnapped a lot of girls. And as we mentioned last night, most of them really liked him.
Yes.
Because he was, you know, a lot more handsome than their stupid husbands, you know. Right? We mentioned that yet. I mean, he's handsome, he's rich, he's powerful. I mean, let's give an example that I didn't give last night. Let's say, who's a very rich man? Bill Gates. You heard of Bill Gates? He's probably one of the richest men in the world. So if he came, ladies, and he said, I'd like to marry you, you'd marry him in a second. So he said, what do we need this husband living here in Fiji? You know, we can have a private island, a private plane. Yeah, coronavirus. No coronavirus. The best met doctors and won't have to worry about the coronavirus. You know, so who cares about this husband? I have servants. So Ravan expected Vedavati to come with him. And she said no. And he grabbed her by the hair. She made her hand like a knife. And she cut the hair. And she, because she felt so disgusted by being touched by him, she burned herself in yogic fire. And she says, I'm going to take birth again and be the cause of your death. And you're going to die because of a woman. Then, later on, Ravan thought, he didn't take much attention to that. So he thought, let me go show Lord Shiva how powerful I am. So he went to visit Kailash. And flying in the Pushpaka Vimana, all of a sudden the Pushpaka Vimana didn't work when it got close to Kailash. It just like crashed. It didn't crash, but just landed. And just he walked, and then he saw Nandi, you know, the bull of Lord Shiva. And then he laughed. He said, you're ugly. You are really ugly. And so Nandi cursed him to die because of a monkey. So he gets all these curses from the different people. And then he goes to Lord Shiva's abode, Kailash, and he lifts up Mount Kailash with his 20 hands, his 20 hands. And Mount Kailash is shaking. And Parvati gets really nervous. Lord Shiva's not upset. So Lord Shiva actually puts his toe down and crushes the 20 arms of Ravana, just so they're trapped under the hill. And Parvati curses Ravana to die because of a woman. The same curse, you know, that Vedavati gave before. And Ravana's he's trapped there. And to please Lord Shiva, he begins to chant different hymns. I mean, there's some stories that he pulled out his intestines to try to make a vena out of them, but I don't know if that's true. That's not in the Valmiki Ramayana. And so then finally Lord Shiva's pleased, gives him some weapons. Then he has another fight. He fights with a person named Anuranya, who is one of the ancestors of Dasarath. And he kills Anuranya, and Anuranya curses him to die because he'll be killed by one of his descendants, who's Ram, of course. Then he goes to Yamaraj, and he wants to conquer Yamaraj because he thinks, you know, if I really conquer Yamaraj, I've conquered death personified. So he goes to Yamaloka, sees all the people suffering, and he frees them from their suffering. And they're all worshiping Ravan, Jai. Because the Yamadutas are torturing everybody. And Ravan is just like, he's just like, he beat up the Yamadutas. He was so powerful. Amazing story. And then what happens is he goes to Yamaraj, has a big fight with Yamaraj. Yamaraj finally pulls out the Yamadanda, you know, the Danda of death, the stick of death. And he's told by a voice, which is actually Lord Brahma, don't do this. I promised him he wouldn't be killed by a demigod. So Yamaraj disappears. And when he disappears, Ravan thinks he's defeated death personified. He goes around saying, I've defeated death personified. Jai, Hudibol. And then, phew, he's really powerful at that point. Finally, the final curse is that he actually violates this Apsara Ramba, which I mentioned last night. And Nalakuvara, her husband, curses him to die if he ever forces himself upon a woman again. And so that's the story of Ravan. And, oh yeah, there's more, actually. I'm sorry. There's actually more to the story than that. So later on, Kartavira Arjuna, who also had 1,000 arms, was bathing in the Narmada River. And Ravana, he wanted to do some prayers in the Narmada River. But Kartavira Arjuna, with his 1,000 arms, he was bathing, and he actually pushed all the river current backwards. And Ravan, he was trying to pray, you know, because he also was pious in a certain weird way. He was pious. He was a Brahmin. Actually, the Brahma Rakshasas are very powerful. So Ravan started a fight with Kartavira Arjuna. Kartavira Arjuna put Ravan in jail. And he was able to defeat Ravan. So finally, Ravan made friendship with him. You know, let's become buddies like this. And he let him out of jail. Then Ravan thought, well, there's another powerful person I want to attack, and it's Bali. You know, there's a whole story of Bali, which maybe I'll tell tomorrow. But Bali is the son of Indra. And Suagriva is the son of the sun god. So he goes to attack Bali, and he thinks he sneaks up on Bali like this, and Bali sees him from behind, snatches him with his tail, and puts him on his armpit. So poor Ravan is under the armpit, and he's scratching, biting, and Bali's just going like this, like that, and flies all around with Ravana for a while. Finally, Ravan just makes a deal with Bali, friendship, that you don't kill me, I won't kill you. So that's why Bali had to be killed. Because he wouldn't have been able to help Ram, because he had made that promise to Ravan, like that. So, at this point, Lord Brahma orders all the demigods to take birth as monkeys and bears and other creatures, even spiders, to help Ram in his pastimes to conquer Ravan and Lanka. So, maybe we'll end here. So, any questions? That's tonight's Amkata. Let's see. And you see, I have so many pages. I only went the first page to it. Of course, not everything is in the notes, but it just reminds me of different points in here. And the Valmiki Ramayana has more details than what I just talked about. Many more details. So, any questions?
And
how Bibhishan become a devotee? Was he born a devotee? Yeah, somehow or other, the father's consciousness affected the son. Generally, the son becomes like the mother, and the daughter becomes like the father. But there's always exceptions to that. Mm-hmm. And so somehow or other, Vishravas, you know, he just like, thought, you know, had two bad demons, you know, let me have one good guy. And Vibhishan became good. And Vibhishan was just always pious. He wasn't like the other brothers or sisters. His whole life was like that. Very nice. So, any other questions? That was interesting. Yeah.
Lanka belonged to
Kubera.
And then
it was stolen by Ravan. They didn't actually fight. Ravan just like threatened him, and then Kubera just said, "Okay." and also the Pushpaka belonged to Kubera too. Lanka was actually made by Vishwakarma. Lanka was constructed by Vishwakarma. And it was made basically for Kubera and the demigods. And somehow or other, you know, Ravan took over. He was so powerful because he was a Brahma Rakshasa rather than just a Brahmin.
So when Hanuman went to Lanka,
yeah,
he actually burnt and then it was rebuilt.
Yeah, but not by Kubera, not by Vishwakarma. It's rebuilt by Maya Dhanava, who was the father-in-law of Ravan. So Ravan actually threatened him, and he rebuilt the whole thing real quickly. Yeah, his father-in-law. Mayasura, Mayadhanava. Mayadhanava. It was Mayasura, same thing. Asura means demon, Mayadhanava. He was the father-in-law of Ravan. So Ravan said, rebuild the whole thing. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it wasn't burnt because a lot of it was stone and marble and stuff like that. But there was a lot of cloth inside and I mean, there's whole stories which I'm not going to tell today, how Hanuman destroyed a lot of it. Not only the burning, but he actually tore some temples down and things like that. Temples of the demigods. He was a Hare Krishna preacher. But that's later on in the story. What?
When he saved
Vibhishan's house. Yeah. Vibhishan, when Hanuman burnt Lanka down, he was worried that Sita had also gotten burnt. And he was very much in anxiety. And then when he came, he saw that Sita was okay. And you know the whole story that Sita prayed that Hanuman, the fire in Hanuman's tail wouldn't burn him, would be as cooling as the wind. And that's what happened because of Sita's mercy. I mean, there's also details I'm sure you're aware of in that story. So, no other questions or comments? So, see you all tomorrow morning. Oh, not, there's only one or two people here. No, because we're following all the rules. Very important. So, I'll see everybody online tomorrow. And those, as I mentioned before, those of you who are from New Zealand, you have a special meeting with me at 1 o'clock tomorrow, and get the information about it from Krishna Chandra. 1 o'clock Fiji time, which I believe is the same time as New Zealand right now, because New Zealand's not on daylight savings.
New Zealand is 1 hour ahead.
You sure?
Yeah.
They're on daylight savings time still.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, 1 o'clock Fiji time. Whatever time it is in New Zealand, it'll be 1 o'clock Fiji time. 1 o'clock Fiji time. Well, I'm not telling them what time. No. Let them figure it out. They'll figure it out because I'm not absolutely sure about that. Because I know that Australia is not on daylight savings time anymore. So I'm not sure. So it's 1 o'clock Fiji time, and you all know the difference. You all in New Zealand know the difference. Yes, it's confirmed. It will be 2 p.m. So 2 p.m. New Zealand time, we will speak to everybody, all you bhaktas and bhaktinis in New Zealand. And Gokul Banda is watching too. Oh no. I waved at Gokul Banda wherever he is. Anyway, we've got devotees from all over the world watching, and they'll watch it later.